This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
877-881-1053. Who takes the number one blame spot for you for the Cowboys' fall? Is it Zeke, Dak, Garrett, Jerry, Papa John's? The talent and evaluating department? Is it the defense? Just tell me who it is. Who takes the number one spot for you when you say, I blame this person first and foremost above all others? Because I know the most logical answer is, well, it's a combination of terribleness across the board. Yes, I certainly comprehend that. However, that's not what we're doing. Pick one. Parker?
It took me a while to figure out my one, Kevin. Because
there's so many of them.
Look, you're right. My first thought was exactly what you just said. I can't pinpoint one because, you know what? There's just been a whole plethora of suck. But after, you know, kind of looking at how poorly Dak played, how Dez and T-Will and Bryce Butler and Cole Beasley and all of those guys have kind of struggled at the receiver position. Jason Garrett, who hasn't made, at least from our perspective, good decisions in dealing with the loss of Zeke and dealing with the injuries. The injuries, I could blame that. I'm going to go back and I'm going to blame Roger Goodell.
Wow.
And I'm going to blame Roger Goodell because I don't know that I fully recognized how important Zeke was to this offense until I've seen him gone. And it has nothing, in my opinion, to do with Dak being a bad quarterback. It has nothing to do with, you know, maybe a poor game plan. It has nothing to do with the inability of the running backs behind Zeke to do their jobs, because they've done well. The problem that I see not having Zeke in the lineup is it allows defenses to stretch this offense way too thin. It allows defenses to key in on what Cole Beasley does, which is get open.
Right.
You can put two guys on Cole Beasley and he's not going anywhere. That's the reason he hadn't gotten an opportunity. It's not because he's regressed. It's not because he's having a bad year on his part. It's because he's being defended better. Dez can't get open because he's lost a step. He's been injured. He's getting older. He doesn't have the breakaway speed that he used to. And because of that, defenses are able to say, you know what? We're going to devote more guys to Dez, Cole Beasley, all the other. With Zeke gone, you've seen this Cowboys offense become the worst offense in the league. They can't score a touchdown. One in three games. You get the one yesterday. Congratulations. Before that, you went nine straight quarters without putting the ball in the end zone.
The only reason I would not say Roger Goodell is because Zeke did some stuff.
He did.
Like, we have to all admit that. Whether or not you think he committed domestic violence, I think that's a totally fair thing. But that also ignores other questionable choices he made. The thing at the nightclub, which we all have to be honest with ourselves, unless you specifically know some things look like they happened there. I think he deserved to be punished. Now, I wouldn't say six games, but the punishment deserved to happen.
I do wonder, though, because when you look at the way that the league punishes, just in general, you look at a guy like Tyreek Hill.
I don't even know why he's allowed to play.
Who's done much worse than Ezekiel Elliott. And he's never been suspended.
He might be the worst person in the league.
Josh Brown.
Yes.
Admitted to being a domestic abuser.
Yep.
There are multiple times on record that his wife, two NFL officials, had to be removed from a room with her husband because he was beating her. He's suspended one game. That's why I put it on Goodell. Like, I get that Zeke made poor decisions, but based on the way the NFL wants to punish, why is Zeke suspended when all these others aren't?
I get that. I will fall into something that usually I hate is you control what you can control. And I think keeping Zeke out of some of these situations, well, I guess the Cowboys couldn't control him because a lot of them happened before he even got here. But you knew you were drafting a player who had some baggage with him when you drafted Zeke. That's why, at least in this moment, I'm going to say Jason Garrett, because I still think Jason Garrett operates off of everything can be fixed by execution. And I think that is an insane way to operate when you haven't had execution. Like last year, I get it. You operate off the idea that, well, if we execute better than the other team, we are going to win because you always execute. Well, when you look at it this year, they do not execute a lot of the time, whether it's because you think it's separation, poor tackling, you think Dak sucks, which I do not, but clearly you can see on the fan text people do. Whatever the reason is, you cannot just operate off the idea that we will win this game because we execute better. And their desire to push that as a strategy boggles the mind.
Well, we saw it. It's this idea that Jason Garrett doesn't know how to make true adjustments. You're right. The only adjustment he knows is just do your job better. And we saw it against Denver. They had a game plan going in. And the game plan that they had going in didn't work. They got punched in the mouth. And they had two opportunities. They had a rain delay and then they had halftime to say, you know what? This game plan that we came in with, not going to happen today. And instead of changing it, they just continued to try and do it better. Exact same thing they'd been doing, and you saw what that led to. That led to an absolute drubbing. And they've done similar things in their previous three losses. They haven't changed much, and you've seen in the second half they've been outscored 1-10.
From the 214, Dak definitely can't throw downfield. From the 940, whoever thought Dak was the answer at QB. And from the 214, Dak, he's a fourth-round QB for a reason. I'm going to stop on that for a second. You people are insane, all right? You are insane, okay? If Dak finishes the rest of the season and he sucks and then he's terrible all of next year, then I will listen to that argument. If you're bailing on Dak Prescott right now, I don't understand what you want out of this franchise. And for the people who say he's fourth round quarterback for a reason, who do you think are like widely believed to be the best two quarterbacks of all time? It's Tom Brady and it's Joe Montana. Tom Brady was taken in the sixth round. Joe Montana was taken in the third round. So if you think elite quarterbacks only come from the first round, you do not understand the history of football. Secondly, before these last three games, Dak Prescott had put up the greatest season and a half ever for a quarterback to start their career. And before that, he put up the greatest first season in the history of his career. Do I think Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the NFL? No. Do I think he's played well in the last 3 weeks? No. But if you've looked at these last 3 weeks and you've said, well, we have to start all over at quarterback, I think you're an insane person, ignoring the fact that you have a quarterback who's still very good for the next 2.5 years who costs nothing. He is a problem right now. He has been a problem for the last 3 weeks. If you think he's the problem, I have a problem with that. And if you're like, well, he's nothing without Zeke, fine. Zeke's going to be back in 3 weeks. Zeke's going to be back for the future. So you're ready to bail on Dak Prescott. I don't get it. If you're pissed at Dak now, yes. If you're ready to bail, I think you don't know what you're talking about.
I do think it's just interesting, too. And Kevin, we'll get into this a little bit later on when we discuss Dez. Like, looking at Dak, yes, he's been a little bit inaccurate. Maybe
the last three games,
inaccurate.
Bad. Sure.
But when you go and you look at the film and you look at A, the time he has, and B, who he's throwing to, he's not throwing to open receivers. He's not throwing to guys that are giving him an opportunity to make open throws. Every throw he makes has to be so precise because Dez can't get away from a defender. Cole Beasley's double covered. T-Will can only catch with his hands, and even when you hit him in the chest sometimes, the ball bounces off and lands right in the cornerback's lap. What are his options? He has to throw in such a fine window that at a certain point, I don't care who your quarterback is, if you have to make the perfect throw every single time you throw the ball and you don't have any leeway at all, like, what do you expect?
I think that's a tremendous point because this is what I'm going to throw out, and it drives me insane that this is actually a thing. I don't get it at all, but every time somebody says, well, Romo never had a running back and Dak has a running back, well, then I'll throw this out there. Romo, maybe 1 year of his career, played without a number one receiver. Dak has never played with a number one receiver. And it hasn't happened. Sorry, it's a fact. All right, because you look at the 3 years that T.O. was there, and then there's a one gap year, and then Dez rolls in there when Dez Bryant was Dez Bryant. Dak has not had a number one receiver to throw to. And I'm not trying to turn this into a Des Romo thing. I just wish that you would say, well, Romo never had a running back, but I guess Dak's never had a number one wide receiver. That is not complicated to say. It's okay to go, I think that both of those quarterbacks had flaws. I think Tony Romo has flaws. I think Dak Prescott has flaws. It's okay to do that. You don't have to pick a side anymore. One still plays for your team. The other one does not. Why is that so complicated?
Oh, because things are falling apart, Kevin.
Sure.
And because when things
these
are falling apart,
these last three games have sucked.
People panic.
No.
There's chaos. It's not surprising. And I think that's the most concerning thing. We're sitting here like pinpointing what is the biggest reason why the Cowboys have failed. And we can come up with six or seven different reasons. That's scary. That tells me that maybe this team that we all thought was the NFC favorite, a Super Bowl contender.
I pick them to go to the Super Bowl. I pick the Raiders too, though.
Like, I hate, yeah, and that's, you know what? They've got their all sorts of issues on their own. But maybe, just maybe, this Cowboys team has a lot of issues.
No, you're absolutely right. Because, like, if somebody wanted to throw out the number one blame is to Zeke, I could see that. To Dak, I could see that. To Garrett, I could see that. To the scouting department, I could see that. To Jerry, I could see that. To the defense, I could see that. If it's a lack of separation from the wide receivers, I could see that. If it's injuries, I could see that. And when you get eight deep, that is problematic.
Yeah, this would be so much easier if the problem was, well, Dak is not as good of a quarterback as we thought. Because then you plug in a better quarterback, and you go win a Super Bowl. But that's not where we're at.
And again, if you think Dak is not that good of a quarterback, that's fine. What I don't understand is, and we'll probably talk about this at another point, I don't understand why some people had glee about that. Like, if you're a Cowboys fan, why are you happy that you were right if you think Dak sucks? Like, isn't that sad? Every time I went after Romo, people were like, you don't love the Cowboys. Yes, I do. Because I said, and if Romo proves me wrong, I'll be glad to say I'm a moron. If I didn't like Dak, I'd be like, man, I sure hope he proves me wrong and we win the Super Bowl. I hope Des Bryant proves me wrong when I said he won a number one wide receiver. And he says, oh yeah, the hell with you. And he becomes an MVP candidate next year and makes the All-Pro team. That'd be fantastic. I would tweet out all day, I'm sorry that I'm stupid, Des.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.